Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
Good morning. It is good to be back with you. It's been a few weeks since I've been here, but I'm glad to come back and be able to serve in this capacity after while Dan's gone on vacation, and appreciate the opportunity. And I always love coming to Hurricane. I enjoy being here, and I've been looking forward to it. And so what I'm going to do is over these next two or three weeks, we're going to explore an idea or a position that I've been in for the last several years of my life. And in fact, it's kind of, we'll talk more about it in a minute, but it's kind of been the position of my ministry, and that is just simply, how do we reach a lost world? How do we get involved and respond to lost people? How do we do that? We all have friends and loved ones and family members and workmates and others that we would love to see come to Christ. But we seemingly go through maybe a lifetime and never respond to the needs of people. So over these next 3 weeks, we're going to explore that idea. How do we do that? There are going to be three completely different ideas, three completely different messages. Today, we're going to talk about rebuilding the altar of our lives. Because in my humble opinion, and in my history as a pastor, you won't be able to reach lost people unless you're in a position personally to be able to respond to their needs. A lost community or a lost person even can absolutely see right through us if we're not genuine. If I'm trying to win someone to Christ, but I have issues in my own life, that's really a challenge. The Bible talks about that, doesn't it? So that's kind of what we're going to look at and try to explore. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 says, "And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." That's kind of where we're going to be for a minute. Sharon and I were camping in Kentucky just a few weeks ago. We went to Slade, Kentucky, the Natural Bridge State Park, and camped there for a few days. And state parks in Kentucky are much different than Indiana. If you're a camper or been to a state park in Indiana, we're kind of spoiled, actually, because Indiana seemingly has some of the best state parks in the country. We went to this particular state park and made our way there. It's about 4 hours away. And when we got to the road that it was on, which is State Road 11, Sharon said, "Do you know where the campground is?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. It's in the, you know, I got the address in my navigation. So I'm assuming, you know, it'll take us right to it." Well, when we drove down the road, there was another camper in front of me, and there was a sign that pointed off to the right that said Natural Bridge State Park. So I was going too quick, and it kind of came up on me, so I couldn't do it, couldn't turn, so I had to go on. And Sharon said, "Well, is that where we were supposed to go?" I said, "Well, I think so, but we missed it. I'll have to go down here and turn around." And we have about a 37-foot camper, so overall, so you know, you just can't turn around just any place. So as I was going down the road, I saw a couple campgrounds, but they weren't identified very well. So I went down, turned around, came back. So I said, "You know, evidently where that camper turned in at that sign must be where the park is, or where the campgrounds are." So I turned in there, and it was kind of tight, but I turned in and then came right to a T, to the right, to the left, and to the left it said the lodge. And so I thought, well, that's got to be, you know, in the right direction. So I turned left there. I went about a mile, mile and a half, pulled my camper, and all of a sudden, this is on Memorial Day, nonetheless, cars on both sides, just enough room for me to drive down the middle. I drive down the middle, and I see the lodge, but no campground. Nowhere to turn around. And I look down to the end, all the way past these, all these cars, and the lodge is on my left. And Sharon says, "That question I knew was coming. What are you going to do now?" It's like, "Well, I don't know." So I looked down and I saw a little bit of an opening. And I said, "Well, you know what? Maybe that turns left down there. And maybe that goes out to a maintenance lot or something. I can get in there and get turned around." So I drove all the way down there, got down there, walking path, not a place to turn around. It's an area not too large, probably about half the size of this sanctuary, again, I'm pulling a 37-foot camper, and I don't know what I'm going to do. So I finally, another guy came up to me, and he said, is there anything I can do to help you? I said, boy, I don't know. I'm going to have to try to figure this out. He said, well, there might be a place to turn around back here. Let me go look for you. So he went back, came back, and said, nope, no place to turn around. I said, great. So I said, well, the only thing I know to do, I've driven a semi for a long time. The only thing I know to do is kind of a semi deal. I'm going to pull over as far as I can to the right against this wall. There was a block wall there. And I'm going to turn left, and then I'm going to have to work and try to get the trailer over far enough. So make a long story short, 30 minutes later, I managed to jockey the trailer around enough, get past a car, jackknifed it, got out. So there you go. I'm out. So we go check into our campground. We're all set, and we get set up. And so we decide, well, let's go around and see what we can see. So I go back, same place. I don't have a camper this time, so we're all right. But just as I'm getting up there, I see another camper pull in just like I had. Truck pulling a camper. And I said to Sharon, oh, no, that poor soul's making the same mistake. So I pulled in behind him. He made a different turn. He turned to the right, which was a little better. I pulled up alongside of him, rolled down the window, and I said, buddy, are you lost? And he said, yes. Do you know where the campground is? And here's the word. Here's the catcher. I just simply said, yes, you're going the wrong way. This isn't the way you want to go. That's what this is about. It's pulling up alongside people in a gentle way, in a small way, but on a purposeful way, and just simply say, listen, you're going the wrong way. Let me help you get out of here. That's what we're trying to, that's kind of what this study is about. It's finding people that are making a wrong turn and gently pulling up beside them and saying, you don't want to go this way. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about styles. There's different styles, the way we respond to people. We don't respond to people all in the same way because people are different. Today, we're just going to look at us. Again, we all have those lost people in our lives. We have, or at least we should have. We're not able to reach them. We're going to try to determine that, or at least make a difference. So that's kind of what we want to do in these coming weeks, is just be able to respond. So where do we start? I think we start first with us. I think it's always the best place to begin, is just with me. You know, like-minded people draw like-minded people. It's just an absolute. We have a tendency to find ourselves in relationship with people that are similar to us. Sharon and I have some very close friends, three or four couples that we spend a lot of time together. We camp together. And in regards to that, those people are a lot like us. We're very similar. We have a lot of similar objectives in mind. Our kids are all the same age. Our grandkids are close to the same ages. So we find that. That's kind of what we need to determine in our lives. How do I do that? It's the altar of our lives. Where is the altar of your life? Have you rebuilt? Do you have an altar in your life? And we'll explain that as we go. 1 Peter in the Message, chapter 1, verse 13 through 16 says, so roll up your sleeves, put on your gear, be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into the old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then, you do now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life. A life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I am holy, you be holy. So what's the supreme purpose of my life? Not what's the outcome, but what is the outset? What is God requiring of me? It's a great question to ask ourselves. Early on when I started coming here, and I've held true to that, every time I speak somewhere is to remind us that this is not it. This living life is not it. The 4th of July, no doubt on the 4th of July, we see fireworks and we eat hot dogs and hamburgers and hang out with family. And that's a wonderful idea. That's not it. You know, as much as we enjoy being together and coming to church on a Sunday morning and spending that, even going camping, whatever it is, that's not it. What's it is the fact that Christ is coming again. And we need to be ready. But we should be in the position that we want to see other people be ready as well. God has a great desire to make you like himself. And him doing what that and him doing that is never the question. The thing that matters is, will you accept God who will make you like himself? Will you at all cost be rightly related to God? That's the clincher. I think that's kind of where we separate, as the Bible would say, the sheep from the goats. Are you willing as an individual to make the sacrifice to be different? I have made a lifetime of being different. I've always kind of been out there on the edge. I've always been the guy that was just a little, not askew, and certainly not in a negative way, but the guy that was just a little bit different than the rest. I want to be different than the crowd. I really do. I'm careful who I associate with. I taught on Sunday night at my local church, and I talked about, I'm very slow about letting people looking. I don't open doors to my life real well. Never have. I don't know that I ever will. Not that I'm a secretive person. I'm not. I don't have any secrets in my life. But in the same respect, I just don't open the doors up and let people walk in. Understand, I'm not talking about coming to church and sitting in a seat, listening to a preaching, but doing what Jesus wants me to do. Not talking about enjoying worship, maybe even raising my hand or praying or going to lunch with friends. We're talking about reckless, self-abandoned, on-fire relationship with Jesus so much that you can't keep it to yourself. I think one reason we don't win people to Christ, one reason we don't do it is because I'm fearful that we don't have a relationship that we are able to overspill our lives into other people. Great song Steve Green wrote years ago called Broken and Spilled Out. It's the story. It's the story of the anointing of Jesus' feet when the alabaster box was broken and the smell permeated the room. That's kind of what we're talking about. James Chaskett says, abandonment and forgetfulness of self-denial is so universal and has such profound effects, nothing so important has been so completely forgotten. He goes on to say, a Christianity that asks us to give nothing up is gotten cheaply and is therefore treated like any other cheap thing. Consumption makes for dullness of mind and an alienation from spiritual things. What does that say? It says this. Our relationship with the Lord should be so exciting and so compelling and so incredibly important to us that we would never do anything to take it for granted or to abuse it, but to do our best to let other people sense it and know it. I am holy. You be holy. That's kind of what the word says. One reason we have such unrest in our Christian lives is that we are not in proper relationship with God. Now, you say, well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor. Well, it is easy for me to say. I've lived a lifetime of trying to make that happen. Now, understand, I'm not perfect by any means, and it's a process of me, it's a process of my life, it's a process in your life. It's something that I work on a daily basis, something that I make sure I'm close to the Lord on a daily basis. I take inventory often to see in my life, is there things that need to be changed? Are there things that should be tweaked? But I make sure that I am committed, that I'm separate from the crowd. I'm different. I don't want to blend in. I want to make sure that I'm in that right relationship with Him. Try to live a relationship outside the direction of the leadership of God. It is not important how you feel. It is vital for God to reveal Himself to you. Has God revealed Himself to you? What has that done to you? Where are you in that regard? God did not come to save man out of pity. He came to save man because He wanted them to be holy. When you come into relationship with the Lord, I always used to say, I when I was early in my life, early in my Christian relationship, I kind of looked at being a Christian as fire insurance. Kept me out of hell, which was a good thing when you're young because I didn't want to go to hell. But as I get older and I realize, and as I've matured in my relationship, Jesus Christ saved me, not primarily for me to go to heaven. That's the benefit of going to heaven. Christ came into my life that I could become more like him. I could be sanctified over time. I could be purified over time. And as that happens in my life, then all of a sudden I become closer to the Lord. I get closer to who he is. If we're going to win people to Christ, we will have to have an altar of our lives. We'll have to rebuild the altar of our life. So he said, okay, that's fine, Jack. What is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here it is. What is my personal altar? It is a designated sacred place where the veil thins between our world and the presence of Christ. I'm not implying that you don't have that, but if you don't, you must first find yourself in the presence of Jesus. And until that happens, you won't win people to Christ. You just won't. Now, that being said, I think there's two issues involved in this, in making sure that we find ourselves in the desire of God. Number one, it is the sacrifice of self. John 7:37 says, "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said with a loud voice, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from him.'" He did not say that if we believe in him, we would realize the blessing and the fullness of God, but if you believe in me, out of him shall escape everything he receives. What does that mean? Well, it means this. When Christ comes into our lives, he didn't come into our lives for us to keep it. He came into our lives that what we have in our lives would therefore flow from us. So it comes into our lives but flows out. Comes into our lives and flows out. You come in on Sunday morning and you hear Dan preach. It's not that you soak that in and say, "Man, that is awesome." No, you soak that in to go out the doors and to let that flow out. I love to see the sign. It's cliche. I know. I don't know if it's in your church or not. I've not seen it, but it may be. But the sign's good when it says, "Beyond this point is the mission field." It's a true statement. You know, we just don't come to church to say, "Man, this is awesome. I'm glad I'm in church. This is a wonderful experience." Oh, it is. And we refuel and refire and find ourselves in that incredible atmosphere. But it's then to take that and to move out. To take that and enjoy that. On the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews drew water and poured it out before the Lord. It's supposed, like Christ alluded to this, "If any man desires to be truly and forever happy, let him apply to Christ and be ruled by him." This thirst means strong desire after spiritual blessings, which nothing else can satisfy. So the sanctifying and comforting influences of the Holy Spirit were intended by the waters which Jesus called on them to come to him and drink. The comfort of Christ flows plentifully and constantly as a river, strong as a stream to bear down on the opposition of doubts and fears. The Spirit dwelling and working in believers is a fountain of living and running water out of which plentiful streams flow, cool, cleansing as water. That's the altar of our lives. It's to find that place. Do we have bad days? Oh my, do we ever. Are there days that are outstanding and exciting? Absolutely. Are there days when the benefits of knowing Christians and being a Christian are exciting and thrilling? Absolutely. It's not that we are beautifully rounded grapes, but that he squeezes the sweetness out of us. You know, you can look at a grape, and it is a wonderful thing, but it is when a grape finds itself under pressure is the real benefit of the grape realized. And that's not true. Grapes are a benefit of a lot of fruits. But spiritually, we cannot measure our life by success, but only by what God pours through us, that we cannot measure that at all. You know, as a pastor, I've looked back on my life and realized that there's not a lot of ways to measure life for a pastor. There really isn't. I seek to make a difference in life. I seek to do what it is that I need to be able to regard and to make sure that I communicate truth, that it somehow impacts the lives of other people. It is the people that we know or that I have known or that you have known, to me, that come into relationship with the Lord. I don't measure my life. I can't measure my life by how much money I've made. I've been a pastor most of my life. You know, I don't have money in the bank. I wish I did. It'd be awesome. But I don't have that. But the great thing is, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me a bit. Why? Because the solidity of my life, the joy of my life, is wrapped up in the fact that I've been able to, in all of these years of ministry, to make a difference in people's lives. I think that there will be people in heaven that would not have been there had I have not come into contact with them. To me, that is worth more than riches and gold could ever bring into my life. The second thing is we are poured out to be poured in. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 13 says this. During harvest time, three of the 30 chief men came down to David. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Came down to David in the cave of Adullam. And while a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephidim, at that time David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, "Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." So the three mighty men broke down the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. Let me set the stage for you. David finds himself as a prisoner. He can't do anything because of all the battles and everything going on around him. He knows if he goes out, he's going to get killed. So he summons these three men and he says this, "I would love to have a drink from the well outside the gate of Bethlehem." And these three men said, "No problem, we got it covered." So these three men get up, they fight their way all the way to Bethlehem. They draw the water, put it in a container. Now, if they fought their way there, guess what they had to do?
Yeah.
Fight their way back. They fight their way all the way back to David, and David sees this canister of water and says, "Literally, I am not worthy to drink this water that these three men have fought to give me." So he takes it, does a weird thing, he pours it out on the ground as a drink offering in front of people. What does that say? Well, it says a lot of different things. One thing it says for sure is this. There is someone in your life that you know, that you come into contact with, that is in this story, that's just waiting for someone to bring them a glass of water. A simple glass of water. Not a literal glass of water, but the water of the Holy Spirit of God that pours out of your life. They're waiting for you to say, "Here, try this." Don't make that turn. That's the wrong turn. You don't want to go that way. You want to go this way. Here it is. What God has given you lately, what has God given you lately that you have not poured out before Him? If you take the blessings of God, love, friendship, spiritual blessing, and don't pour it out before the Lord, you can never sanctify to God that which you long to satisfy yourself. What are you saying? I'm saying this. If we don't pour out, God can't pour in. And if God can't pour in, you're not going to live in full satisfaction of the Lord. You may find a reasonable facsimile. You may find something that's very similar. That's the reason we find, that's the reason we find a lack of commitment in the church today. That's the reason we find, you know, we find ourselves going to restaurants and stuff now and they can't find people to serve. It's not any different in the church. I don't know what it is at Hurricane. I know that in our local church and other churches, other pastors I talk to, struggle on a constant basis of trying to find people to fill in or to preach or to teach or to be a part of. And in my opinion, it's not necessarily for a lack of warm bodies in a seat. I don't think it's that. I think it's a lack of commitment in our relationship to the Lord that we don't pour out. He can't pour in, so we live our lives in an unsatisfied manner spiritually. We trade it for reasonable facsimiles. We trade it sometimes for emotion. We trade it sometimes for other things that we think might satisfy. But if we would just find ourselves in a position to give away that which what God has given, I think we would find such wonderful satisfaction in our relationship with the Lord that we would find blessings coming up on our own lives and things happening in our local church. I'm a full believer. No, I don't care what church it is. I'm a full believer that it's an absolute, it's just a shame to find ourselves in a position. I'm looking. I just read a story the other day. Yes, I just read a story the other day. This is a story of today, right now, happening right now, 50 miles away from us. Dave Summerall, Lester Summerall's grandson, started a church in 2010 on the north side of Indianapolis. The name of that church is I-Town. You may have heard of the church. It's a great church. Dave Summerall's a great preacher. He started that church, and to date, today, as of today, a few weeks ago I checked it, 2010 to 2021, 38,000 people have come to Christ. That's 38,000. 38,000 people have come to Christ through that ministry. They don't all attend I-Town. A lot of them attend other churches, gone to other churches. But they have, to their credit, 38,000 souls that has come to the Lord. On a given weekend of ministry, it seems they're running somewhere between 10,000 and 12,000 people. You say, well, yeah, but that's probably just generic. I don't think so. I think it has to do with an incredible requirement. Early in my ministry, there were some things that were just required. I'm not sure we do a good job of making requirements in the church anymore. And not Hurricane, I'm sure it's not true here, but it's true probably in my church, it's true in a lot of churches that I know. We have a tendency to just open the doors and we just come in. Summerall, he has an incredible requirement. There's some things that, if you're going to belong to that church, you have to do some things to that church. I heard a story years ago about it in a high school, and it was recruitment day, so I don't know if they do this anymore or not, but all the armed services all showed up, and the auditorium was packed, two-story. Auditorium was packed, and the Air Force got up and made their spiel, and the Navy got up and made their spiel, and the Coast Guard and the Army, and they all did their deal. The last guy to get up was a Marine. And a Marine, he got up, stood in front of that whole assembly, and said, "There's not one person in this auditorium that would make a decent Marine." Now you think, well, what a horrible thing to say. Turn around, sit down. They split up, went to their individual rooms. They walked by the Army room, two or three people in it. Walked by the Navy room, two or three people in it. Got to the Marine room, couldn't get in it. Couldn't get in. The room was packed with people wanting to be Marines. Why? A challenge. It was a challenge. It was just a challenge. He just said, nobody here can do it. And all of a sudden, some of these people rose up and said, well, I could do that. What about you? What about you rebuilding this altar of our lives and making our lives really what God wants it to be? It doesn't matter what you want it to be. It matters what God wants it to be. You can satisfy yourself with a blessing from God. It will corrupt you. You must sacrifice it, pour it out, and do with it what common sense says is absurd. A little boy got a new set of skates for Christmas one year. Put them in the closet and said, I'm going to wait until the snow melts to use those skates. Snow melted. His mom said, why don't you go out and say, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for a while. Then I'm going to go skate. He waited another month or two, and she said to him, you need to use those skates. He said, well, I'm going to, but I'm just waiting for the right time. Finally, about 6 or 7 months later, he said, you know, I'm going to get my new skates out. I'm going to take them out and use them. He went out, put them on. You know the story. They didn't fit. God right now has given you something, equipped you somehow for it to be used today, to be used now. We don't need God to give us more. We need to use what God has given us. We probably don't need more blessing. We need to use the blessing God has given us. We need to give away what God has given us. Bitterness and sourness comes from the retention of a blessing of God that has been clutched by you and not returned by God. I spent a lifetime talking to people, interviewing people, listening to their stories, and I'd almost come back to this every time. Someone would come to me and they're upset with somebody in the church, or they're upset with the pastor, or they're upset with the music guy, or they're mad at the youth pastor, or they're frustrated with this, or they don't like worship, or they don't like the way you pray, or they don't like the fact that the preacher wore red ties. There's always something. And I'll always come back to, you know, I think this might be an issue of the heart and not of preference. Because when the heart's right, when the heart is good, there's a lot of things that just are wonderful. Sharon and I will celebrate 46 years of marriage, August the 15th. And for all these years of marriage, hard to believe, but Sharon has just not done everything I've asked her to do. If she would, it'd make life a lot easier. No, not really. We have found that the differences in our relationship, which are vast, we are opposites of a lot of things, has only strengthened our relationship. Because at some point I've said, the blessings that I receive through this relationship far outweigh the differences I see in our individual personalities. Can't have an altar of your life if there's a wall. If there's a wall there, it's not going to be an altar. It's just not going to be. You're going to do just that. You're going to come to church. You're going to sit on Sunday morning. You're going to get up. You're going to get in your car. You're going to go eat lunch. And you're not going to think about it until next Sunday. Hopefully you'll think about it next Sunday and come back. Maybe not. Maybe give it a couple of weeks. Come back. Well, maybe a month. I'll be back. And then for some reason we feel like God's going to bless that. God's going to honor that and say, man, I'm going to put some people in your path that need the Lord. No, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Why? It's that altar of our lives. It's that place where we get alone with the Lord and the veil thins and the Lord says, man, I'm just going to give back what you've given. I made a lifetime of trying to give away everything the Lord has given me. That's an absolute impossibility. I couldn't, if I lived to be 150, I could never give away everything God's given me. But I'm going to give away all I can. I'm going to give all away I can. Life can be filled with grace and things go well. But after a time, if we don't move on, search for God's heart, stay on top of that through personal worship, a love for God's word, a commitment to prayer, we just go through life. Eventually, we'll find ourselves empty. What does that say? It says four or five things. I'll say them quickly. Holiness is experiencing God. Do you experience Him? Are you experiencing Him in your life right now? Or are you just kind of going through the motions? Is this just that kind of a deal we do? Are you really experiencing who He is? Are you really sensing who He is? It means walking not faultless but blameless before God. Is there anything in your life that ought to be thrown away? Is there anything in our lives that just be dispelled and gotten rid of? Is there anything in our lives that would just say, I don't need that? It means unsouled walking with the feet. What does that mean? Well, it means that you can walk through horrible places, find yourself on the other end, and look at your feet and say, my feet are clean. That's what it says. It means unsouled talking with the tongue. You know, I just feel like the relationship with the Lord is a requirement of something. Some things are just required. You know, I'm a Christian today, and guess what? I don't talk like I used to. I don't act like I used to. I'm different. The Lord didn't come into our lives that we could be Christians but be the same. No, He came into our lives that we could be Christians and be different. It means unsouled thinking with the mind. Every detail of our hearts and minds under the control and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Holiness is not only what God gives me, but also what I manifest that God has given me. So where are you this morning? Where are you? Where do you find your life? I know this is kind of a tough teaching, and the next 2 weeks will be different. We'll find it different, maybe a little more palatable to us, maybe, I don't know, but I have just felt so impressed in these days that I live that there is just a requirement of God on our lives that we have just pushed aside. Say, that's for someone else. That's for Amanda. That's for Diane. That's for the pastor. No, it's for you. I've said for years, what it took your grandmother to get to heaven, it'll take you. It may take you more because you got more life than grandma had. I look back on my ancestors. I look at my mother, all 4'11" of her, lived her life faithfully to the Lord. I'll maybe talk about her the third sermon, a little bit how she prayed for me and how she interceded for me and the impression that she, the impact she had on my life. Guess what? The commitment that it took my mom to make it, it'll take me. It will. I can brush it off and say, that's old fashioned. No, it's not. No, not old fashioned about it. It's reality. It's the word. We have to follow it. I hope in these next weeks you'll think about that. In your quest to find people and lead them to Christ, we just can't sit out and say, I'm going to lead someone to the Lord today. Nah, not going to happen. You're going to have to be prepared. The Lord's going to have to do a work in your life. And once he's done that work in your life, guess what? Fruit will come. Can I win people to the Lord? Absolutely. I've seen people that could barely say hello, that won people and brought people to the Lord hand over fist. Why? Live this life in an absolute, complete way. God loves you. I love you. I appreciate the opportunity. Come back next week. We're going to look at another idea of how we can respond to a lost world. Lord Jesus, thank you today for the power of God, the realness of God, the goodness of God. Thank you, Lord, for the things you teach us through your word. I pray, Lord, today that you would help us to respond to what we've said. Lord, this is not my word, this is your word. This is exactly what the Lord laid on my heart almost 3 months ago when Dan talked to me about coming this week and what we were going to deal with. And I feel compelled that this is for us, all of us, on this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. And we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.